Hey, Steve from Steve's NRL Footy Tips here today, and you're about to listen to the Round 21 edition of the podcast. But before we really dive deep into this episode, I just wanted to record this little segment at the start of the show to tell you about me and Matt Cosgrove's experience filming this podcast on Tuesday night. Now, Matt's been on the show plenty of times before. I was really excited to sit down and have a conversation with him this week yet again, and we had a great talk about all things Round 21 and the St. George Illawarra Dragons, obviously, who he is a lifelong fan of. And ultimately, we talked about our premiership predictions as well. And it's a really great conversation, and most of it is here on the podcast today. But unfortunately, on Tuesday night, we ran into some technical issues. So Coz only joined us for the first 50 minutes. And obviously, with the game starting tonight, I wanted to release what we had, and I recorded a segment where I quickly covered the rest of the games. But yeah, unfortunately, this week's edition of the show has been, you know, hindered by technical issues, and me and Matt weren't recording in person together, so digital recording can always, you know, lead to some issues, and hopefully I'm working to make sure it never happens again, and, you know, the rest of the year can go smoothly. But we had such an awesome conversation. I want to thank Matt Cosgrove for coming on the show again this week, and, you know, I wanted to really release what we had that had no issues with it. So the first 50 minutes of their talk is all there. Hope you guys enjoy the podcast this week. And then, you know, at the back end of the show, I'll preview the rest of the games quickly and give what myself and Matt Cosgrove predicted for those games. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's edition of the show. Obviously, we're really excited. We're only just over a month away from the start of the 2023 finals campaign. So I hope you guys stay on board and enjoy the podcast for the rest of the year. All right. Enjoy this week's edition, guys, and we'll see you next week on Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips. I'm your host, Steve Westway. Great to be here on a Tuesday for once. I'm actually recording this podcast on time. That hasn't been the case the last few months, but ready for a big week of footy. And I actually looked at the fixtures this afternoon. I think it's going to be the best weekend of football we've seen in a couple of months. I know Origin's now over or back to 8 games every week, but there is some massive games with massive ramifications to the top 8. And, you know, on Thursday night, we've got a huge game as well on the other end of the ladder. So it's going to be a big weekend of football. Can't do it alone today. I'm joined by a guest. Before I introduce my guest, I just want to thank Nicole Timotreski, who was on the show last week, for coming on. We had a really good conversation about the Rugby League Player Association's dispute with the NRL, and, you know, since we recorded that podcast, and I'm going to actually release that portion of the episode as a bonus episode later this week for people that haven't viewed that so they can listen to it, but we haven't really had any updates in terms of the Player Association. The teams, the players still are not talking to media, and it remains to be seen whether this dispute's going to be solved by the end of the season. So it could have some massive ramifications on the rest of the year. But yeah, we're final 8 rounds now, Origin out of the way. Really looking forward to the battle for these last few positions in the top 8 and the top 4 as well. But as I mentioned, back on the show today, he's a man that's been on the show a lot of times in the past, but not too much this year. So I'm interested in having a good conversation with him about footies today. Welcome back to the show, Matt Cosgrove. How are you, Matt?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Yeah, it's as I mentioned, it's been a long couple of months trying to, you know, I work full time, but trying to record the podcast while State of Origin's going. It's been a lot, but yeah. I feel this week, I feel almost resurgent and, you know, full of energy to get into the back end of the competition. I mean, finals are just around the corner.
Yeah, it's crazy that Origin's done and dusted now. We're on the road to the finals. Some people are excited, and some people that won't feature in the finals, not so excited, but I'm still keen to get into it.
I mean, I won't ask you about your opinion on this year's State of Origin series, because I think your opinions probably echo mine, but it was good to see the Blues winning game 3, and, you know, it's always a big time of the year, but now that that's done, we can just focus on the NRL, and you mentioned your game, the first game we're going to preview this weekend, which we'll preview soon, but before we preview that game in particular, I just want to ask you about your team. For those that don't know, Matt Cosgrove is a St. George Illawarra Dragons fan, and it's obviously been a not an ideal year for your club, because do you actually reckon it's the worst, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, the worst position they've been in their history? And what have you thought of the year as a whole so far for your club? 20 rounds in, they just had the bye last week, their final bye of the year, and they now sit still on only 4 wins heading into Thursday night.
Yeah, look, I'd probably say it's been the worst year in the St. George Illawarra history anyway. obviously, as a joint venture, they haven't won the wooden spoon yet, so still in contention. Obviously, Thursday's game, if it goes our way, will do go a long way to avoiding that, with already being 2 points clear of West. But yeah, it's been a pretty poor season overall, with everything going on and off the field, and obviously with Shane Flanagan coming next year, and he's already made a few moves and stuff like that. There might be a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but that's for next year.
We haven't had a chance to talk about the Ben Hunt situation as well. Obviously, that's been a very controversial topic in the NRL and for Dragons fans in general. I mean, the Dragons have cash to spend already, but would you be against Ben Hunt leaving the club at the end of this season, or do you think that there's a way that him and Shane Flanagan can come to some sort of agreement for him to continue to give his all for St. George? I mean, it's been a few weeks since all this came out, Coz, so I think you've had a little bit of, time to settle down, but what's your opinion on that whole saga at the moment?
Yeah, it's gone a bit quiet in the last few weeks. It was a hot topic around Game 2 of Origin, but look, I don't know what will happen, whether he'll get a release at the end of the year for the last 2 years of his contract and then either a player swap or something in return. So I think the biggest thing for me was I was never with the idea that he should be released immediately with us getting absolutely nothing in return of any compensation, whether money or a player or anything, because, you know, I know at the end of the day he wants to win a premiership, but you know, for him to get what he wants and us to just be stranded with nothing for this year would have been a tough pill to swallow. But look, I'm sure they'll work something out come the end of the year once the season's over. And yeah, I guess we'll have more on it towards the off season.
I guess the big question for the Dragons fans, whether they keep Hunt or get rid of Hunt, do you have, I guess, a lot of hope for the future of Flanagan coming in? Do you think the next few years can be successful, or do you think that the whole organisation has to be rebuilt? Do you think that Flanagan can find at least some immediate improvement, is what I'm trying to get at?
I think he definitely can. Like, I'm not expecting, you know, obviously when he took Cronulla from last to first during his stint there, well, not last to first, but you know what I mean, like from the bottom to finals footy, I don't know. I'm not going to put too much expectation on it. I'm kind of going to let it ride. Let him do his thing. But I think he's definitely got, he'll definitely have some improvement on some players there that are definitely lacking that at the moment. So I'm expecting some form of improvement from certain players in particular.
I think that the key thing, and I've said it on this podcast in the past, the coach of this club, of this organisation, the St. George Orlando Dragons, has to have total control. I know you've got a board, and we've talked about it before, the St. George side and the Steelers side, there's been all sorts of reports that those two sides don't get along. Yeah. There should just be a new beginning, and I think that the period that the Dragons obviously had their most success in the NRL era was when Wayne Bennett was coach, and by all reports, the rumour is, the story is, that he went into the Dragons board and basically told them, you'll do what I say, I'm in charge of this club. Yeah. And you won the premiership. I know that Wayne Bennett, there's only one of him, right? He's the master coach, and it might not be that simple for Shane Flanagan, but in terms of recruitment, in terms of there can't be a committee for these big decisions. Shane Flanagan's the coach. He should be making the core of these big decisions for the playing group anyway, moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's already started to happen. There was reports about the high performance and the physio that he encouraged the club to push through and get those two people at the club that he's worked with before. So they've been signed on to the club. Dean Young, he obviously signed him on as assistant coach. And in terms of player movement, nothing's really... the only thing I've really heard is he had talks with Luke Thompson from the Bulldogs, who obviously hasn't played this year, but apparently he's had talks with him. But we'll see over the next month or two in terms of playing roster who will come to the club. I think Moses Emba has obviously been told to move on, which I thought was obviously the right decision. So I'm glad that was a thing, because whoever signed him should be sacked from that club and never have a job again, because if the reports are true and he's on that $800 price tag, then that's just ridiculous.
I think his contract this season should have been about $800, but it's actually $800,000, which is insane. But I think that you're right, there's obviously some contracts there that are overinflated, and the club needs to work through it. Now, the Dragons aren't the only club that are really struggling at the moment. Obviously, their opponents this week, the Tigers, are, which we'll talk about that in a moment when we preview the game, because there's a, I don't know if there's crisis meetings. There seems to be a lot happening in terms of Scott Fulton's role as recruitment boss, and Tim Sheens and Robbie Farah and Benji Marshall and the whole coaching department, and the fact that they don't even have a halfback on the books for next year. They seem like they're a mess. There's obviously a few other clubs like the Bulldogs that have really struggled this year, and you know, even someone like the Knights and the Titans, they're probably not the most stable organisations at the moment either. But yeah, so the Dragons aren't alone in this. There's a lot of clubs near that, I guess, 12th to 17th area that, you know, they've got some problems to solve throughout the offseason. Yeah. There's no doubt about it, like there always is at this time. Before we get to this week's footy tips, Coz, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. And because we didn't talk about this pre-podcast, but I just want your quick opinions. Because the current top eight, if we look at it, extremely close competition at the moment. I mean, you've got, obviously, the Penrith Panthers on top with the Broncos. They're both on 30 points. The Panthers in first. You've got Melbourne and the Raiders, 28 points. The Warriors and Cronulla, 26 points. The Eels, the Rabbitohs, 24 points. And the Cowboys on 24 points, sitting in ninth place in the ladder. The Knights on 21 points. I believe out of these teams, we've still got buys for teams like the Broncos, the Warriors, the Rabbitohs, the Cowboys, which will help their clubs. But you look at this close ladder, and it's one of the closest we've seen for many years here in the NRL. I mean, 2018, I remember being a really close competition as well, but this is probably the closest since then. My question to you, out of, and you know, Newcastle, Manly, as I mentioned, they're on 21 points, but let's say that, and miracles can happen. I'm getting some of these teams that are not in the top nine could make a late run and win all their games and make the finals, but it's probably a little bit unrealistic. So let's just say from these nine teams that are currently in the top nine positions of this ladder right now, I want you to name who you think are the premiership favourites. Not necessarily on tab, but your premiership favourites, who you think are the number one team to watch out for, and the team that you think will win the premiership right now. I want you to name your dark horse, the smoky that no one's really talking about, or not many people are, that you think can go deep, potentially make a grand final. And I want you to mention the team that you think has no chance. It might also be the same question, but also the team that you think won't make the top eight. So there's four questions there. We've got your premiership favourite, your dark horse, your team that you don't think has any chance to win the comp, and your team that's going to miss the top eight out of those nine teams. And I'll name mine too. But you go first. What do you got?
Premiership favourite, obviously, I'll be boring and say Penrith. Been there, done that. Two straight, going for three straight. They get Cleary back this week. They play decent footy. I think it's their best team that they've named in a long time.
I think it's their full-strength team, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, close to full-strength, I'd say. I haven't really looked at their side, but adding Cleary in is instant bonus for them. But obviously, I'd have to go them.
The thing I like about Penrith, because obviously they're the team to beat at the moment, but the thing I really like about Penrith is that they seem to have really managed this Origin period. I believe in two of the three Origin clashes after them, they rested all their Origin players. So those guys are fresh. They're ready to go. I think it was a smart move by Ivan Cleary, because Penrith actually don't have any more buys before finals. I'm sure there'll be a week or two in round 26 or round 27, maybe both of them, that Cleary chooses to rest some of his players before that big finals campaign. But they are fresh. They're ready to go. Almost a blessing in disguise for Cleary to get injured when he did. Hopefully, you know, if he's full strength, he had a nice little layoff there to get his body right and to get into this massive end of season. So, apart from how well they're playing and the defensive structures, which have been great, and they found a way to win, you know, that wasn't pretty against the Dolphins with all their stars out. They have depth, their defense is really good, and these stars of theirs are rested up and ready for a huge campaign to run deep into the finals again.
What was the next question? The dark horse.
Yeah. So I'll go. Penrith as my favourites as well as the moment. So let's name our dark horse now. The team that, or the smoky, the team that nobody's really giving a chance to actually win the comp, that you think could go all the way or at least make the grand final.
I'm going to throw North Queensland out there.
Yeah,
as a dark horse. I know the whole 50-point stat. They've already conceded 50 this year. So, historically, pencils put through them, but their form in the last 8 weeks is really hard to ignore. They did a number on the Tigers a few weeks back, and they knocked over the Storm, I think, in their run in the last 8 months. So, obviously they won on the weekend as well. They beat Manly. So, I think if there's one team that I'd put a sneaky 10 on to make a run to even make the grand final, or if not win it, it would be them.
Well, there's no doubt on their day they can beat anyone, but I'm just looking at their run home, and there's some games there. They've got some games that are manageable, but they've also got the Eels, Brisbane, Penrith. I think another tough game in there as well somewhere that I saw. So they've got games that are definitely... And the Sharks, who knows how tough that's going to be, if they're going to get up for it or not, the Sharks. But they've got teams definitely stationed inside the top eight. So it'll be a real test for them this next month, whether they actually get into the top eight. But you're right, on their day, they can beat anyone. My dark horse, personally, I think, is the Warriors. I mean, obviously, they've gotten a lot of attention as the most improved team, and it's a real feel-good story there. But I think they are capable of making a grand final, potentially winning it. The form that they're playing at the moment, that I don't think anyone can overstate the influence that Andrew Webster has had on this club. And in my opinion, he should be a certainty for Dalian Coach of the Year. Certainty. I don't think anyone else should even be in the conversation. He has done remarkable things for him. Sean Johnson's in the form of his career, which is saying a lot because obviously he burst in the scene, you know, more than a decade ago now, but I think he's never played better. And the forward pack's really lifting as well. I'm loving what I'm seeing for the Warriors. Even when they were losing games in the middle period of the season, like against Penrith, they dug in. They really had a go on most of those games. So for me, they're a team that has the reputation of being the most unreliable team in the NRL, and maybe I'm just jumping on and I'm going to make a fool of myself with this statement in the next month or two, but I think the Warriors can win this competition.
They've got a really good draw. I'm looking at it now. Obviously, they've got Canberra, so both those teams, the Canberra sitting fourth at the moment.
It's almost a battle for the top four this week.
Yeah, and then the Warriors have the Titans away, the Tigers away, Manly at home, and Dragons at home. All of those are very winnable.
So if they win this week, they could almost be certainties for that top four spot. And imagine if they, for them to win week one, I think they can win anywhere, but if they somehow got that home ground advantage, it would be huge. Imagine if they finished second on this competition and had a home final over there at Mount Smart to get to the prelim. It would be massive.
It would be huge.
So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I honestly don't. But what do you think? This next question, is it the same answer for you, the team that has no chance and the team that's going to miss the eight, or do you have separate answers for that question?
The team that's going to miss the eight and what, sorry?
And the team that has no chance of winning this competition in those top nine teams. Because for me, I've got Cronulla with no chance. I don't think that. I know they've made some changes this week in the team list, some massive team list news all around this week. But I think that despite those changes, I don't think they're capable of winning this competition. Yeah. But I do think they'll make the top eight. So those are different answers for me. I actually had the Cowboys still missing the top eight. I know that Parramatta have, and we'll talk about that game later, I know Parramatta have some massive suspensions at the moment in Sivo and especially Regan Campbell-Gillard, but I don't think that this weekend's game and the winner of it is necessarily the team that's going to make the top eight. I'll say that because I think that the Cowboys have got some challenges coming up, and I think that the Eels do as well. They've got a tough run, but I just feel like if the Eels can... I think they've won seven out of their past eight. The game that they lost was against the Warriors team when they didn't have any of their representative stars, and I just feel like that form that we saw at the back end of 2022, I feel like that form's very capable of being repeated by Parramatta again this year.
Yeah, it's a fair statement.
What about you?
I'm going to say Canberra for no chance.
Yep.
Currently sitting in the four with a negative 55 for and against.
What if they win this week, though, against the Warriors? I mean, they make a big case for top four. I don't think they've got the toughest run in the world coming up, either heading into the finals. You might say there's no chance of actually winning the comp, but I feel like they can win some finals games. I don't know.
I mean, they've proven that in the past. Look, they go down to Melbourne with no fear and beat Melbourne in finals games. They've done that a couple of times.
But you just don't think the comp's in reach?
No. I don't. to be honest. Like, when I saw they were in top four, I was actually surprised, but with a negative four against as well. But
their biggest win this season as well was, I think, 10 points against the Dragons. I think that is their biggest win all year.
Yeah, well, they had us by 30, and then they just fall out of games, and you can't let, you know, teams like St. George like almost get you at the end there, like almost pull your pants down and embarrass you. Like, you should be winning those games by 30 when you should be icing those games off. You're not letting your opposition back in and make them look like $1 million.
So do you think that they can have the massive collapse and be the team that doesn't make the eight, or do you think it's going to be someone else? Who do you think is not making the eight out of these nine teams?
Well, I think Brisbane were in a similar position to what Canberra are in now and missed out, didn't they? That was yes. The top four.
Yes.
With maybe a very similar time of year. So you never know. But looking at their draw here, I've got after the Warriors, they've got the Knights, the Tigers, the Storm and the Bulldogs. So I'd probably put them down for three out of four there. I'd have Melbourne probably beating them. But you just never know in rugby league, especially with Canberra with their second half fades.
So who do you have missing?
Missing out, actually, until last weekend, when obviously they're going to be missing couple of players through suspension. I've actually got Parramatta missing out.
Okay, yeah, we're in disagreement there, because I think that Parramatta on their day capable of beating anyone, including Penrith.
Because I look at Parramatta and North Queensland here, their next five. I think North Queensland's got a friendlier next five than Parramatta. Parramatta's easiest game is probably the Dragons, obviously, and then maybe the Roosters, depending on where the Roosters see themselves in a few weeks, but. Yeah, I think RCG is going to be a huge loss. I think Josh said it at the time, Sebo can be covered. He probably won't be as big of a loss as Campbell Gillard is in the middle there, but yeah, those two will be big losses for him.
I don't think, see, this is the thing though, they've got a really tough run. Yeah, they can completely collapse and not make the eight. And at the start of the year, I said I didn't think the Eels were a top 8 team this year, and they started off abysmal to start the year. One out of their first five, it was horrible. But... Yeah.
But they were losing closely.
Yes.
Like, they weren't getting flogged. Like, a couple of things go their way, they could be, you know, higher up on the ladder and no chance of missing out.
But I've seen clubs before, Coz, including like the Eels of 09, including Seahawks of 2021, I've seen teams have a really tough run in the finals, and it almost hardens them up and readies them for finals. If they're winning these tough games against quality opposition, it can have the opposite effect, and you don't fall apart. You're actually ready to go and rearing to go in finals. Now, for that to happen, obviously, and for the Eels, if they were to make the top eight, go through this tough run, make the top eight, and then start winning final match and try to win the premiership, that's going to be a massive effort for them to contain that and keep up for that long of a period. But I think that, I think there's something to be said, and I think that this is something that Wayne Bennett and the teams that he's coached in the past have been really good at, is getting up for these big final rounds of the season and then heading into the finals with a huge amount of momentum. So I feel like, they've got a real tough run, but if they can get it right, it can almost have the opposite effect where they're rearing and ready to go for the finals, and then they can get, you know, Sivo and RCG back in as well. So, it'll be an interesting game this week, because I think that all these nine teams, there's not many, because, I wrote out chronologists then. You said that the Raiders can't win the comp. I look at this ladder, and I think those are the only teams in this top eight and this top nine at the moment that I cannot picture actually winning the premiership. I think that the other seven teams are capable of getting it done and winning. Whether they will 100%. Or not, different story. But I think all the other teams in this race can do it. So, massive couple of months. And as I said to start the show, a huge team list and just team news in the last few days. Obviously, we mentioned RCG and Sivo. They're out long-term for Parramatta. Tino for the Titans, he's gone for a long period of time. Jared Wallace for the Dolphins suspended. And then this week, we see Broncos, Penrith, and CR Sydney all pretty much full strength. I think the Broncos are pretty close. Yeah. And I think that Penrith and CR might be full strength for the first time this season. So, I mean, this week, I cannot overstate it. I think this could be the most important week of the whole season.
Oh, it's a huge week. A lot of important ins for current top eight teams. So, It's a huge week.
Even teams like the Knights, Manly, Gold Coast, it's really their last roll of dice, because, as we said, it's unlikely, but if they win every single game, they might be able to sneak in.
Yeah, you just never know.
Because every team's still got 16 points on the table here. So, yeah. I mean, if Newcastle and Manly win every game, they find themselves on 37 points. I think that might be enough to make the top eight. So, I mean, it's massive. It's a massive weekend of football. Let's get to it. Before we do, I just want to remind everybody, please like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. It's the best way to stay notified of all the updates on the future of the show. Hit that subscribe button. It's very important for the algorithm, but it also gives you guys the news of when these podcasts drop every week. So, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, it's all really important, and your support this year has been unreal. And as I mentioned, the Rugby League Player Association conversation that me and the coach Matreski had last week, I'm going to release that separately this week because I heard that you listened to it and you enjoyed that chat that we had, me and Nick.
Yeah, it was a good episode last week and not something that took time out of my day to really look into, but having to listen to you guys talk about it really gave me some insight onto the topic that I wasn't really following a whole lot, so yeah. It was a good listen the other day.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate that, and I hope more people do check out that conversation when I drop it later this week. But, yeah, we've got a big preview around the preview. We're going to get straight into it, and we may as well get straight into it. We're only taking a break right now because between these segments of the podcast. Let's get to it. Wynn Stadium, Thursday night, 7:50 p.m. Your beloved St. George Illawarra Dragons hosting the game in Wollongong against the West Tigers. It is basically the battle of the wooden spoon. I mean, if the Dragons do lose this game, they still have better for and against by the Tigers, but it's not a huge amount for the Titans to climb for and against wise if they can win another game. So, yeah, almost the battle of the wooden spoon. It's obviously been a very abysmal, let's just say, that season for both the teams. The Dragons almost full strength for their squad this year. The Tigers still have those real problems in the halves. They've named Dane Laurie and Brennan Wakeham again there this week. But yeah, the Dragons get Sloan back. They get Ben Hunt back. Sullivan's easy out for the year. So Amone and Hunt are going to be the halves. And the forward pack, the Dragons probably have the least experience out of these two teams in that opening pack. But overall, I think that it's going to be a big game there on Thursday night. I think that both teams definitely have a reason to perform. I mean, the Tigers have been in the headlines again for all the wrong reasons this week, and surely the Dragons have got to show something in front of their home fans, which, haven't had much to cheer about this year. Cos, what do you think about the lead-up of this game? And, I've actually seen this game live this year. I saw it at Magic Round, and the Tigers actually got the points that day.
Yeah, I think there was a last-minute play from memory where
I think Ben Hunt made a break and got it out to Ravalala, who dropped it or got taken out to the sideline there in the last minute. Yeah. Yep.
All I remember from that game was Jaden Sullivan. I think he had a pretty good game. I think he came off the bench, scored a couple of tries.
Yeah, he was good.
Really. So it's a shame that he has so many issues with his hamstrings there, because he's actually got some talent, the young kid, but he always just seems to get set back after set back.
It's probably been one of the shining lights of your season, really.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. Like, even back when Griffin was in charge, I think it was that Cowboys game, and he was simping, then he never brought him back on again. It was, like, very interesting how they've used him at times this year, but when he's been given a chance to start, I think he's really taken it with both hands. But as I said, very unfortunate that he cops a few injuries, mainly hamstring ones, and maybe he's a long relative of Trbojevic's, I don't know, but he's very unlucky in that sense, and he will be missing the rest of the year, so we won't see him until next year. Same with Jaden Sewer as well, who's out with a shoulder injury.
So what do you think about the Dragons this week? Are you confident heading into the game there at Wynn Stadium? I personally look at the team, and obviously Ryan Carr is the interim coach for the rest of the year. I do like the inclusion of Billy Burns and Russell as the second rowers, to be honest. I think that, as well as Jacob Little playing hooker, I think it's a real example of the Dragons needing to do it more, and that's blooding some of these young guys. The season's gone, let's be honest. And I look at the extended bench, and I see Jaden Hunt, Ryan Couchman, Sione Fananu, I believe that's the guy you saw, one of the players you signed from Manly. They haven't really been given many opportunities this year. The season's dead and buried. If I'm Shane Flanagan, obviously he's not coach yet, but I'd be trying to use my influence to give some of these younger players a taste of first grade and just seeing what they can offer and whether, they're worth, if they can have a big preseason getting into the starting lineup next year. So I think that's something St. George need to do more. Obviously, they've got some veterans there. Guys that are off contract, like Jack Bird, I think he's off contract, Moses Embo. I don't see a point of having these guys in the 17.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Agreed.
I think Jack Bird might be signed for next year. I'm not sure. But Embo is definitely not there next year. So, yeah, that's definitely what... If I'm Shane Flanagan, as you said, I'd be trying to get some influence in there to put him into reserve grade and get someone else in there. But I think the other guy from Manly that we got, the Fifita, the front row, I really wanted him to get a run, but apparently he's injured, so...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully if he's back in the next few weeks, he might get a crack.
Obviously, St. George this year have, you know, been able to hold their own in terms of scoring points, I think. I think it's the defence that has really just... collapsed at stages, and there's a bit of lack of creative there for the Dragons in attack, but once they get a roll on, I think they can score tries quickly. And you know, we've seen the talents of Sloan, Little when they're at their best. Obviously, you've got Ben Hunt there, your leader there, but yeah, the defense for me is going to be the real thing of this game as well, because you looked at even the Raiders-Tigers game, and the Tigers came at the Raiders late. They managed to score some points and make a game of it. So I don't think the point scoring is necessarily going to be an issue here. I think it will be high scoring. I honestly think the winner of this game is going to be determined by who can defend better and for long periods. And I've got doubts about both teams doing that, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I can echo that for sure. It's just like, well, I can speak for my team, obviously, watch them every week, and it's just like, you know, they can start well and then just something happens in the game and then all 13 heads on the field just drop and the confidence just goes out the window, and then the opposition just piles on points. Like some of the tries that Canberra scored a couple of weeks ago in our last start were just not first grade standard.
No.
If Shane Flanagan's watching these games, I don't know if he's watching them at home or he was actually at the ground, I'm not sure, but if he's there watching this, he's got to be like, my God, like, some of the efforts there, it's just pathetic.
And then when you look at the Tigers, I mean, they don't have halves that are going to do anything with the ball. Dane Laurie and Wakeham, you've just got... They're not players that I think are halves. They've got Buller, who's playing some really good football. He can set the game alight with his influence. Their forward pack on paper looks like a forward pack. Like, you got Stefani, you got Clemmer, you got Papali'i, Bateman, guys that can intimidate opposition. It looks like a good starting forward pack. But then throughout the game, I don't even see where these guys go. They're almost non-existent at times for the Tigers. I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this game about five times this week of who I think's going to win. I honestly have... I got no idea. I don't know who's going to win this game of football. What do you think? You're the Dragons fan. Are you going to go biased here, or do you actually think that... I mean, on paper, I think the Dragons have the better team, but the Tigers...
Yeah, I'd probably put it down to the halves, I guess, at the end of the day. And obviously, Hunt has been in the greatest form for us with everything going on. Obviously, you know, it's quite clear he doesn't want to be there or whatever, but, you know, if he's the professional footballer and puts the boots on and you know, has a good game, we can go a long way to getting the St. George a result. But yeah, so I probably have to put it down to the halves being the difference at the end. But if I was to pull a positive out of the game, I know both teams have had a really, really bad year, but if I was to pull a positive out of the game, I'd say the two number ones. Yeah, Sloan's had some good moments throughout the year, and Jerome Buller's been a fantastic rookie for the Tigers in his first NRL season.
Could be the rookie of the year.
He's been there shining light the last few weeks. He was good last week with a couple of tries, I think, against Newcastle, and his defence is okay. So if I am to pull a positive, I'd say the two number ones, the battle, you know, could be really entertaining on Thursday.
If I've got nothing else to say about this game of football on Thursday night, I've got to say it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be something that almost must be much watch TV, because, like, everyone knows the car crash is entertaining television. I mean, the people that watched O.J. Simpson on the highway trying to escape the cops, this is pure entertainment that we're going to see on Thursday night. It might be tough to watch at parts, but that's what makes this spectacle. John Bateman's coming out through the week and said, I came here to win. John, I've got news for you. Went to the entirely wrong club. You may as well... You've got more chance of winning. If you want to go to a club and win, you may as well sign with the Penrith Panthers reserve grade team, because they go win a lot more games than the West Tigers are. So, hey, John, I've got bad news for you. It could be a long 3 or 4 years, whatever you sign that deal for, mate. So, who knows? I think I'm going to go to the Dragons. I think I've got the Dragons by 6 points.
Well, I've gone the opposite. I've just looked at my tips. I've just totally gone against what I just said with the halves being the difference, but yeah, I'll go the Tigers by 10. And we're somehow $1.66 favourites. We haven't been that short since 2010. What's going on?
I think Wollongong. I think I've got to... I mean, Thursday night, the 4,000 people that are there, they're going to cheer the Dragons home. It's going to have to happen. All right.
4,000 diehards.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to Friday Night Football. Yeah. Let's get to the games that, well, you know, again, it's a spectacle, but let's get the games that actually have some consequences on the rest of the season right now. And this game at 6 o'clock, this might be one of the best 6 o'clock Friday night games we've seen all year. It's usually the dead spot. This should be tomorrow night, Thursday night, and the Dragons Tigers should be the 6 o'clock Friday game. Let's change it. But from Go Media Stadium over there in Auckland, it's the New Zealand Warriors versus the Canberra Raiders. The Warriors, as I just said, I think they are the dark horse of the competition at the moment. Now, you look at their recent form, and about 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago now, they did not have their best day out against South Sydney, and it was 28-6 over there. So I was really curious about how the Warriors were going to respond in New Zealand in front of their own crowd. They had a good win against Parramatta a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, Cronulla, notorious for being flat track bullies and beating teams that they should, but really struggling against, contenders for this competition. So it was the onus in front of their home crowd, a sold out crowd over there in New Zealand, was for them to really step up and make a statement. I think they did that. These teams, both of the sides, and I'll give a little bit of credit to Cronulla here. The first 15 minutes last week, brutal. The forward pack was into each other, but the Warriors, they just found a way to score points and they got on a roll there. Their attack has been on song in the last couple of months, and you know, the forward pack, Fanua Blake, Harris, Egan, Ford, Nakora when he's been out there, Mark Barnett's back now, they're just laying such a platform for the Warriors to keep going. And when you've got a guy like Josh Curran that's not playing first grade at the moment, who's a very talented player, I really rate him, it just shows you that they seem to almost have the Warriors at the moment. It's this endless supply of forwards that they continue to rotate, because not many of these forwards for them play big minutes. But they seem at the moment, under Andrew Reeves, to be getting the maximum effort and the most impact that they can bring on the Warriors' side. And it's just relentless attack through the middle of the Warriors. And I'm really enjoying it. When Johnson gets on attack, he seems to be able to get the ball out to the edges, and opposition can't shut it down. So, yeah, I think the Warriors are in a really good place. The Raiders have been in some really good form the last couple months as well, despite the fact that they clock off, which is a real issue when we get to finals. They have been finding a way to win. Ricky Stewart's got them up for a long period of time. Jack Wyden, I think, has been the best he's been in for several years for the Raiders. Fogarty's playing good football, and likewise, their forward production with Tarponet and Horsburgh and Papalihi really making a big difference in the middle of the field. So I'm really excited for Friday night. I think it's going to be a battle of 2B forward packs, and you've got these creative players for both sides that can make an influence. Sean Johnson and Chance for the Warriors, Fogarty and Wyden for the Raiders. I think it's going to be a big battle down there in New Zealand on Friday night calls.
Mate, it's going to be a massive game.
It's mate, almost for a top four spot, this game, because both sides are just teetering there, fourth versus fifth, right?
Yeah. It's going to be a huge game. As you touched on, like, Andrew Webster's been a revelation for this club. He's got Watene's Lesniak in some career best footy. You know, I was there a few weeks back when they were down here in Wollongong, and he scored 4 tries, and just their attack is just so slick. I mean, obviously, going up against St. George, I mean, I could probably score a try if I was out there, but they just look like they're really enjoying their footy. You know, you see more when you're at the game, and than what you see on TV. And when I was there that night, you could really see they were, you know, really in sync. They knew each other's roles. They knew their own roles. And, you know, they just did the simple things. And it's crazy what, you know, if you just stick to basics, what can happen. And they've just been real, like, it's been one of those years where, you know, in previous years, you'd be confident in backing the Warriors and then they'll let you down with a really poor performance. But this year, you've really been confident when you've we've got a guest.
Koz's 2-year-old entered the room, so I'll take over for a little bit. I echo everything Koz just said. I feel like, yeah, they're playing better than they have in a long period of time. Canberra, for all the talk, I mean, Ricky Stewart's got them up, but we saw this game about a month ago, and it was Canberra that, you know, celebrated Jared Croker's 300th. They had everything to prove, and the Warriors went down there in Canberra, ambushed them, which it's hard to do down there in Canberra, and they just weren't in the game, the Raiders. The Warriors repelled them, and then scored the points they have to. They can be defensively really impressive when they want to be the Warriors. That's an area they probably have to improve on a little bit if they're going to be a contender for this competition. But, man, when they get it right, they're just such an exciting football team to watch. And I'm so glad that Johnson's re-signed this past week to play another year. Charles Dickel-Klodstad, it's going to be a real conversation when RTS comes back into this Warriors side next year, and I just think that they're playing remarkable football. Koz is back. Koz, yeah. I mean, you're just talking about talking up the Warriors. How do you see Friday night going down between these two teams?
How do I see it going down Friday night? I think it'll be a good forward battle, just looking at the two forward packs on paper. It's going to be a real good forward battle up there, and then obviously with the Warriors, got the likes of Johnson and Dickel-Klodstad and Watene's Lesniak, who's been on fire this year. Not disrespecting him, but like the lesser names like your Rocco Berries and stuff. Even he had a great game on the weekend.
Adam Pompey, another one. Really, yeah.
Pompey's another one.
Luke Metcalf, I mean, yeah. He's come into the side and is keeping some other guys out. He's just been, Cronulla let him go, but I think he's really added another level to the Warriors game, especially Sean Johnson. I feel like he's just freeing Johnson up there. Luke Metcalf's been a huge addition to this team.
Yeah, Johnson's just arguably career best form. He's,
I think he's a smoky for Dally M. I just don't think. I think he could win that award.
Was he up there when it went behind closed doors?
I think he was on about 23 points and Huss was on 30. So now that, you know, 7 points behind.
Huss missed a few games.
Yeah, and 7 points behind sounds like a lot, but now you've got 6 points you potentially get a game. I don't think it's a huge target to overcome. So.
Definitely up there, but yeah, like obviously with New Zealand being at home and having the home fans behind them, I'll have to back them. But as you said, like they've been impressive on the road as well with Croker's 300 that you touched on. They won that game. Canberra's always a tough road trip. Wollongong, tough road trip for them personally.
Parramatta, I know Parramatta had some missing, but they went to Combank and won that there.
Had a fair few out, but yeah, so they've been really good on the road, but. You know, having these games at home has been essentially they've been on the road the last few years with everything going on, but now they're back to normal, having all their home games over in New Zealand. They've been really impressive, so it's hard to tip against them at the moment.
It's great for rugby league that the Warriors are going well as well. And I hope they continue it for the rest of the season. Canberra, I just can't tip them this week because I just think the consistency there. You mentioned Canberra faders. They just seem to drop off at big parts of the game around that 30 to 50 minute mark. And against a team like the Warriors, and as they start versing teams that, you know, find themselves on a high position in the ladder, because they've had a pretty easy run, Canberra, they haven't really been challenged too many times. They can't do that against the good teams. The good teams will make them suffer. And it's almost like the Sharks dropped off a little bit just because they couldn't maintain that intensity through the middle of the field against the Warriors last week. And as soon as they did that, the Warriors targeted them, scored quick points in succession, and the Sharks just couldn't recover. And I think we could see a similar thing this week. I've got the Warriors by 16. Koz, what about you?
If I throw a margin out, I'll go 18.
18. You're just stealing mine. All right. Let's move on. The second game of Friday Night Football, we'll have a break after this. 8 p.m, one of the games of the round. It's the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the Brisbane Broncos. The Rabbitohs taking this home game up to the Sunshine Coast. They've also taken a game to Perth in the next coming weeks. So, interesting their choices by the Rabbitohs management. But both sides, huge additions. I mean, Walsh, Huss, They're both back for the Broncos. I think Flegler's still a week away, but they're almost full strength. The Rabbitohs, I think for the first time this season, have everybody on board. They have a full contingent. Latrell Mitchell back. The Origin stars like Cook and Keon Kalamatangi, Walker, Murray, they're all big additions. Tom Burgess is playing some good football since he's come back. And Jai Arrow back in the team for the first time in several months. I think it's going to be a mouth-watering contest up there on Friday night, and I think that this is a real test for both clubs. I mean, I would almost argue to say that the pressure's on Brisbane, but you look at the ladder and you see the Rabbitohs on eighth position there, and they, you know, they haven't been full strength for a long time. They only actually have won 2 out of 6 games since Latrell Mitchell went down injured, so his influence is massive. So they need to win games if they're going to make a run for the top four South. But for Brisbane, I think it's a real chance for them to show that they can show up against a team that a lot of people rate to be a chance to win this premiership this year. So I think that a big opportunity for both clubs to cement or try to cement a top four, especially in Brisbane's case because they're in there at the moment. But I think this game has massive ramifications on the momentum of both sides. I always have the, I guess, the old saying, you don't want to be playing your best football till September. But if you can start playing your best football with, or close to your best football around this time of the year, heading into these final rounds of the season, the momentum that you can take into finals can be massive. And I think that this is a huge game for both clubs because a loss here could really set the confidence of these players, especially for players like both teams had that haven't played for a little bit, can really set them back a little bit. So I think that this game is a massive game, and I think it's almost do or die for these two clubs to get some big momentum for the back end of the season, Coles.
Yeah. As you touched on, it's been a massive couple of months for your boys, South Sydney. Two of the last six in the last 8 weeks. Obviously, it hasn't been ideal with, you know, at one stage, I think the Canterbury game, you guys had 10 of your starters out.
Yep.
So obviously, that hasn't been ideal, but still find yourselves in the top eight. Everyone's back on deck this week. Latrell's back from the calf injury. He's been out the longest. I think he didn't even play. He was ruled out Origin.
His last game was round 12 against Parramatta.
Yeah, so right before Origin won. Because he was named in both games, but pulled out of both.
Yep.
So finally back on the park at round 21. But just looking at South's draw, it's favourable, but the only thing that would probably have me worried is because their home games had to be moved from ANZ because of the World Cup, is all the travelling that they're going to be doing over the next 3-4 weeks. They've got games in Queensland, they've got games in Perth, they only have 2 games in New South Wales until the end of the year against Newcastle and the Roosters, but you also have a bye in there as well, so it'll be interesting to see how the travel can take maybe a toll on the side, you know, having to travel all the way to Perth and Queensland and not be based, you know, in Sydney where they usually are. But
well, South can go on a run, which a lot of people are expecting them to over the next month. They have that bye in round 26, and then they've got the game against the Roosters. You mentioned Roosters, the travel, right, which I haven't considered a huge amount of. But yeah, you're right. The Rabbitohs are going to be travelling a large distance in this next month. It'll be interesting to see their tactics. We're talking a little bit more long-term here, that they have the bye round 26. Do they rest players for 2 weeks in round 27 there against the Roosters, or do they not want to do that close to the finals? It'll be interesting to see how Jason Demetrio manages the team.
It will be, yeah.
So, but yeah, for Brisbane, I think they've taken a little bit of a step back in this competition in the past month and haven't been at their best football. We knew the slide that they took last year where they find themselves outside of the top eight after being in the top four for about 6 or 7 rounds to go. I don't expect that to happen this year, but no. I think it's a massive game for Brisbane as well.
Yeah, huge game. I think they're on 30 points, so I don't think they're in danger of missing out. They're on 30 points, so I can't see them repeating what they did last year, even if they lose two or three games in the run home. But they're definitely not the team that started the year on fire. I think they won their first
six Eight? Or seven. No, they lost against Canberra first. Raiders ended up beating. Yep.
Yep.
But I mean, Reece Walsh, 24 try involvement in his 14 games this year. They've been without him lately. So, him back on board, Huss back on board. You've got to expect an improved effort by the Broncos.
Yeah. Was Huss due back this week or is he an early return?
It was hit, touch or go for 21 or 22, but he's back on deck. So
yeah. Well, having those two back will be huge for him. But yeah, it should be a pretty good Friday night of footy, really.
Who you got?
I'm back in the Bunnies, and I'll chuck it in there by 10.
Yep, I think that, yeah, the battle of the fullbacks will be interesting. Latrell and Walsh both after layoffs. Latrell will be interesting how he goes coming back from that calf injury. And if he can roam both the left and right hand of the sides of the field, I think that... you know, they could get the Broncos all sorts of trouble. The Rabbitohs beat the Broncos earlier this season pretty convincingly. Adam Reynolds took it to the Rabbitohs in that game, so I expect more of the same by the Rabbitohs legend this week for Brisbane. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the Broncos at their best, definitely capable of winning this game. But with all the Rabbitohs troops back and the fact that, you know, so many of these guys have missed a lot of football recently, I think that the Rabbitohs are due a big performance, but they've also been careful because there could be some rust, there could be some chemistry issues since they haven't played a huge amount of football together lately, and it's just hard to go against CS now that they got their full forward pack back and the fact that Cody Walker playing some great football. And for those Origin stars, you know, Keon, Cook, Murray and Walker coming back in, what confidence do they take winning game three? I mean, they all got an opportunity in that game, and especially Walker. He was the man of the match in game three. He owned State of Origin three. So I feel like his game can go to an even bigger level this next month. If the Rabbitohs premiership chances, you've got to hope that it does. I think that everybody's, you know, talking about Latrell, but the most influential man in the Rabbitohs squad is Cody Walker. And if he's at his best, then CS can go a long way. So I've got the Rabbitohs by 8. I just think that, a little bit more confident on them at the moment than the Broncos at this point of the year. But, you know, as I mentioned, the Broncos can make a huge statement if they were to win on Friday night. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get back in a moment with our Super Saturday preview. My favourite time of the week.
Thanks, Steve and Matt. So as I mentioned at the start of the show, we did have technical issues at this point of the podcast. After the Friday night games, on the Super Saturday games, we're really excited to talk about these ones. The Gold Coast Titans versus the Sydney Roosters. Now, because he predicted the Roosters to win that one, I went with the Gold Coast Titans. Regardless, both of these teams are pretty much on their right last roll of dice this weekend. The Roosters, it could be a step too far now to make finals. But for these teams to have any chance, you'd have to think that both of them would probably have to win the rest of their games. And for the Gold Coast Titans, obviously they have got the reputation that they've been second half faders and just haven't been able to, you know, put teams away. And I use the explanation that it feels almost like they've got a substitute teacher now that if Justin Holbrook is no longer the coach of the club and Des Hasler's coming in next year. So it's safe to say that I don't think we've seen their best football, and Tino's out for 3 weeks as well. So it's going to be a tough next month, and some questions are really going to be asked of Gold Coast. For the Roosters, Trent Robinson has not figured out how to solve these problems they've seen this week. They were pretty good against the Storm last week, but ultimately, you know, the Storm ran away with that game late after some really tough footy for 50 minutes. Tedesco's back in this week, but they've still got that problem in the half, Sander Smith and Luke Keary. Sander Smith's a good young kid, but I think Luke Keary really needs to take more control of the game. As I mentioned, in this one, I tipped the Gold Coast Titans for an upset. Kozaru has tipped the Sydney Roosters, so let's move on. The second game of Super Saturday was the Newcastle Knights versus the Melbourne Storm. Now, the Knights have played some really good football at home this year, but me and Kozaru were basically unanimous in our decision to tip the Melbourne Storm. We both think they're going to go on a run here. We both think they're going to be Premiership Smokies and could, you know, win this Premiership this year. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Newcastle, and Matt agreed with that as well. So we'll see how they go this weekend. Newcastle usually have some good performances in front of their home crowd there, but I think that this week, unfortunately, could effectively end their 2023 seasons. And there's reports about Adam O'Brien and the Knights are considering their options moving forward. I do think they've had the effort this year. Unfortunately, some results just haven't gone their way, and I think that Storm, almost full strength, they're going to hit their straps in this next month of footy. The final game of Super Saturday is a big one. It's the North Queensland Cowboys versus the Parramatta Eels. And, you know, the Cowboys up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium have really made that place a fortress. It's hard to win up there. Their record at home is much better than their away record this year. And at the moment, they're the form team in the competition. They probably didn't play their best football against Manly last week, but they did enough to get the 2 points. They've got Tom Dearden and Scott Drinkwater absolutely dominating at the moment. They're just such game breakers, and it's just been some electric performances. Parramatta this week, obviously without Mike Acevo and Regan Campbell-Gillard. Me and Coz, again, we both agreed that we think the Cowboys will win this game. As I said on the start of the show, I think the Cowboys win a close one. The Eels struggled to heat up there, but they won last year's prelim, so we know they can do it again. Even with the Cowboys winning this game of football, that obviously they'll be in the eight and the Eels won't at the end of this weekend, but I don't think that race is over. I still think the Eels will find a way to make finals this year. So, you know, it's obviously a huge week and a huge game in consideration for the top eight here. But, yeah, I think that the Eels, they've won 6 out of their past 7. They're playing some really good football. That production up front definitely hurts without Regan Campbell-Gillard there, but I think that they'll be okay in the long run. But the Cowboys up there at Townsville, pretty hard to beat at the moment, so we'll stick with the Cowboys. And in the Sunday games, this one was a funny preview between the Penrith Panthers and the Bulldogs at 2 p.m. at Sunday afternoon up there at Bluebet Stadium. We both think Penrith, by how many, it's just, you know, they're full strength for the first time in a long time. Nathan Cleary's back on board. The Bulldogs, it's a week-in, week-out proposition, as always, and you just never know whether they're going to show up. They've been okay lately. Obviously, they took the fight to the Broncos early in Belmore, but there's no chance the Bulldogs win this game. We joked that the only way that the Bulldogs can win this game of football, if there's a natural disaster or if the PFS bus breaks down or something, but yeah, I think it's going to be a cricket score and really the Panthers by how much on Sunday afternoon. And in the final game of the rounds, we both went the Cronulla Sharks to beat the Manly Seagulls at PointBet Stadium at 4:05 p.m. And for the Sharks, you know, it's they're an embarrassment really in terms of beating the teams that are contenders. And we saw that again last week against the New Zealand Warriors. Now, to their credit, they really had a go in that game, and it was some tough football early. But when the Warriors got there, when the points started to flow for the Warriors, they just ran away with it. And, you know, the Cronulla just couldn't keep that intensity after the first 20 minutes of that game. They're not going to be premiership contenders. They're probably still going to be in the finals. And, you know, Craig Fitzgibbons can see the problems because he's dropped Moylan this week. He's dropped Wade Graham. He's put Talakai back to the bench and got Connor Tracy and Trindle in there. So I think that Trindle can really unlock and free up Nico Hines because Hines is playing like he's got the weight on his of the world on his shoulders at the moment. So I think that can really improve his game. But ultimately, you know, I just don't see him being there when it matters, Cronulla, and I see them being a week one exit to the finals. I really do. Manly, they had some real opportunities last week against the Cowboys. They couldn't capitalize there, and you know, I think they'll win games this year and trouble some teams, and they definitely could beat Cronulla on Sunday afternoon. But in front of their home crowd up there at PointsBet Stadium at Cronulla, me and Cos were in agreement that we think the Sharks will be able to back and win this game of football. So that was basically a quick recap of what we talked about after we had some technical issues on the podcast last week. So, yeah, to recap our tips, I believe that I went the Dragons tonight against the West Tigers. Cosru went the West Tigers. On Super Saturday, we both went the Warriors to beat the Friday Night Football, we both went the Warriors to beat the Raiders and the Rabbitohs to beat the Broncos. Super Saturday, I went the Titans to beat the Roosters. Cosru went the Roosters to beat the Titans. We both went the Storm to beat Newcastle. We both went the Cowboys to beat the Eels. And on Sunday afternoon, we both went the Panthers to beat the Bulldogs and the Sharks to beat Manly. So those were our footy tips for round 20. Hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast this week. A big thanks to Matt Cosru for being back on the show. It's a shame that, you know, we had some technical issues this week. It's hard when you record digital and digitally because we weren't in the same room recording together, and that can be an issue sometimes. But working on it, hopefully we have no technical hiccups for the rest of the season. And we're definitely going to have Coles back before the end of the year. If not the regular season, we're definitely going to have him on to talk some finals football with plenty of other guests this year. And I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast this week. As always, subscribe, like, share, wherever you guys listen to your favorite podcast. And we'll see you next week on Steve's NRL Footy Tips.